What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the third anniversary of A Theology of Hustle. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Every year for the anniversary of the show, we like to kind of sit down and bring JJ back on to sort of interview me. In this episode, we look back at 2020 and we look back first at some of the episodes that we liked. We tried to narrow it down to five. We got down to seven. So JJ and I share our top seven episodes of the last year, which is a ton of fun just to think about all the cool people that have been on the podcast and talk through what those episodes have meant to us. And we also, JJ asked me some questions just about life and how it's been during the pandemic. And I jump on soapbox after soapbox about work and all of these things. So there's a lot to offer here. I even talk about parenting in a pandemic. And so there's so much. You're going to get a lot out of today's episode. I'm so excited for you just to celebrate with A Theology of Hustle. As we're putting out our favorite episodes, I would love to hear your favorite episode from 2020. So find me on Instagram at Theology of Hustle or on Twitter at Curry Blandford and leave me your favorite episode of 2020. I'd love to hear about it and what you got out of it. It would just mean a ton to me. It's a great way to celebrate. I've got some giveaways planned this coming week. So make sure you're following me on the socials for that. I've got amazing books to give away. I've got some incredible Theology of Hustle swag. So make sure that you are up on all of that. You're going to want to see what I have to give away. So I hope you really enjoy hearing from this third anniversary episode. Thanks for listening along, y'all. Well, JJ, 3 years of Theology of Hustle. Did you ever think you would see this day?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Because I thought this was a good idea from the very beginning.
You believed in me more than I believed in myself.
This is true.
I will say I am a chronic starter. Like, I'm really good at starting stuff and building websites and like making logos. I'm really bad at like keeping things going. So this is like this is probably the longest I've ever sort of really invested in a project like this. Just ask my like five blogs or whatever those are.
I'm going to choose to not like respond to that and just leave that where it is.
It's just who I am. I mean, there's strength to that too. I'm an entrepreneur, so I like to start stuff, but follow through is hard for me. And so 3 years of making a podcast, even through a pandemic, feels like a big deal.
It's impressive.
Yeah. So, okay. So every year for the anniversary, we like to kind of sit down and just sort of reflect on the year. It's almost like a New Year episode, but I don't do New Year episodes. I just wait for the anniversary to come because then it's not another thing on top of all the other New Year episodes you have of every other podcast.
Yeah. Which I always think it's fun to like reflect.
Yeah.
That's my inner therapist.
Totally agree.
But like, as we're talking about that, I'm realizing that I don't know that we've ever shared on the podcast the origin story of the podcast.
Yeah. What's the origin story of the podcast?
About why you decided to start it.
Well, I decided to start it because I felt like I wanted content out in the world, didn't I?
Yeah, but that's like the pretty version.
Okay.
I'll tell the story.
Okay, that's perfect.
So, right, you wanted content out in the world, and several people had talked to you about writing or having a blog.
Yeah, we talked through a lot of like blog ideas and stuff, right?
Yeah, and I was less on board.
You told me that I was bad at writing and basically that I shouldn't do it.
I hope I didn't say it just like that, but that's like the gist of what I said. But I was listening to a podcast driving home from work one day and like walked in the door and was like, I just listened to this podcast and it's Emily P. Freeman's podcast, The Next Right Thing, and had listened to an episode that I thought was incredibly profound that I made you listen to. It didn't strike you in the same way. Doesn't matter. But I was like, podcast, this is what you should be doing. And so it just seemed like such a natural fit to me. So to me, this is tying back to your original opening of like, I'm not shocked at all because this is what you're good at this. And so I'm not surprised that you're 3 years in, because I believed from the beginning and it was my idea. So you just ran with it.
That's good. You're super humble too. So that's good.
I've learned from the best.
But you get to this point, right? There's like, what did we decide? 2 million podcasts out there?
That's what I heard on another podcast this week. So
it's just so much. And it's so there's so much out there, you know? So like knowing and investing in a podcast, I think, like, means a lot. So I'm just thankful for those people who have like chosen to invest in Theology of Hustle and, you know, listen to all these amazing stories of people that come on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So speaking of stories,
yep.
We thought it would be fun to share our top 5 episodes briefly. And we both came up with 7 instead of 5. So it's our top 7. So do you want to go first?
Are we going back and forth?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So my first one is Anthony Bradley, which was kind of at the first of 2020. He was under lockdown and basically like wrote out on Twitter, like, "Hey, I'm in lockdown. I'd love to do podcast. Hit me up." So I just found him on Twitter. And like, he was one of those people that was kind of a dream guest on the podcast, just like brilliant, so full of wisdom, and could talk about most anything, really. I probably could have done like 6 episodes with him. Just it was amazing. And just kind of I love digging deep into the theology of things. And I think that's what we really did on that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one too. My first one from early last year was Aaron Nyquist.
Mm-hmm. That's at least how he says it. So,
okay. So that's probably right. but just talking about liturgy and spiritual rhythms, I think with where we were in the pandemic and kind of feeling like we had lost all rhythm, that one really spoke to me, just in the remembrance of like, there's a reason we have rhythms and all of our rhythms are broken now, but like, how do we find new rhythms? And so that is something that I just felt like that was one of those episodes that was at just the right time.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. That was a great one. This one's a little bit of a cheat because I actually interviewed this one way before the pandemic hit, like in maybe January or February. I can't remember. Carmen Joy Imes. She actually came to, this area to InterVarsity Press. And I went to IVP and actually sat down with her and interviewed her in person. I know that is like absolutely mind boggling, but I am of the opinion that if I can get an in-person interview, I will always do whatever it takes to make an in-person interview happen. I just think the flow of it feels really good to me. So 2020 was a bit of a challenge and having none of those, except for our wonderful Magic Table episodes, which are always just
delightful.
Such a pleasant time. I didn't, that sounded somewhat almost sarcastic. I did not mean that art. Sarcastic at all. Magic tables are always my favorite. So
I joined you in your sarcasm. Sorry.
Okay. But Carmen's book, Bearing God's Name, had all my sort of biblical nerdy juices flowing. Like I really like the Old Testament. That's something I don't talk about a lot on the podcast, but I feel really comfortable in talking through the narrative of the Old Testament. And her book is such a game changer for understanding the command to not bear God's name in vain, take not God's name in vain from the Ten Commandments, and just sort of breaking down what that actually means and like bringing it into biblical theology, which is sort of seeing this theme play out across the entire Bible, I think is really powerful. She talks about liminal space, which is sort of like the wilderness, you know, for the Israelites and even for Jesus. And there's just a lot of like really deep and also understandable Bible and theology in that episode.
Yeah.
She's also went to Wheaton College. So, you know, that's always a plus.
Yeah. So my next favorite episode was with Sarah and Beth from Pantsuit Politics.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because I love Pantsuit Politics.
We're both big fans of Pantsuit Politics. Yeah.
And I have just appreciated Beth and Sarah, especially through an election season, yeah. and just helping me understand some like bigger concepts about government. I felt more in the know this year than I ever have. And so just to have them on your podcast when I adore them as humans was just a really fun episode for me yeah. as a listener.
Yeah, I talked in that one about how they are sort of discipling people politically, right? And I think that's been, I was always very comfortable being apolitical up until somewhat recently, actually. And just like having people sort of walk me through that, I felt like a little bit of a beginner on the in the political realm, you know, and to have people walk you through that, I think is really important.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a great one. My next one is Paul Pastor. It's crazy because it wasn't until I think after the interview that we discovered that our really close friend Laura Leonard actually has like spent time with Paul and his family at his house out in Oregon and like knows the pastors very well, which is just really cool, actually, you know?
Yeah. I think we've realized all sorts of weird connections yeah. on this podcasting journey. And so,
but his book, Face of the Deep, absolutely beautiful. And he is just such a genuine person. And that comes through in that episode, talking about just how we see ourselves and God and just like, I don't know, the word organic's probably overused, but it just feels very organic and just natural. And I think that episode is profound.
So my next favorite is the episode with Mako and just talking about being a creative. And I think for me, that was just a reminder. I would say we've always talked about how we believe all people are creatives, but we tend to box creatives in as like artists, painters, designers is yeah. how I think. And it was just a reminder for me that like, oh no, I do have this belief that as creation, we are creators. Mm. And just to hear his perspective was really helpful. I feel like so many of mine were like, it was just the encouragement I needed at just that time. And I joke a lot about sometimes the podcast feels just for me, that even, yes, there are lots of people who listen, but even if not, I feel like it's all worthwhile because so often there are episodes that just speak to me and where I am. And that was one that I think with where we were in life and in pandemic, I just needed that reminder that as a part of creation, I have the ability to create. And that's like who I am as a created person.
Yeah. I mean, getting to talk to Mako for me was like, I mean, that was like bucket list level. Another Twitter find, which is just crazy. But that was such a fun episode. And he is just so amazing. It was super fun. We'll stick with the art theme here. And one of my favorites was Juliana Rubio Slager, who does Ballet 5-8. And what was cool about that episode is, again, talking about creativity and art and her work. And she just like lives it, you know, like grew up as a ballerina, kind of wanted to bring all these things together and just like, I think perfectly blends like really, really high end art and ballet with Christianity in like a way that doesn't feel weird like it does sometimes with that sort of stuff. But they invited Blythe and myself to come and actually watch a ballet performance, which I've never seen like a real professional company do ballet. And it was incredible. And so just to like even know about their organization and be able to talk a little bit about it and share some about it, it's just really cool. I love that there's people doing that out in the world.
Yeah, that was fun. And just a sweet memory for you and Blythe too.
For sure.
Okay. Again, like mine are all like, oh, I'm a fangirl and you got these people on. But Bree McCoy is someone that I have followed online for a really, really long time just because she values community. And I like can actually tell you where I was listening to her episode. Like it was so impactful to me because she was just talking about community and the value in that. And also y'all were kind of talking through like some loss of community mm-hmm. that we were experiencing in the pandemic. And that was something that like clearly I knew was true, but it was after I was driving to physical therapy after I'd like broken my foot in the fall.
It's been a year of medical things as well, non-COVID special, related. Yes.
Special year. Yeah. And so just like, that was just a whole thing that I had feelings around, and then just, it felt a bit isolating. And just to like listen to the two of you talk about community, like I sat in my car and wept because it was like, it gave me freedom, I think, to acknowledge the loss that I had been feeling. And even though like you and I had talked about, I think like listening to a different conversation just moved me. And so not only is she an incredible cook and shares like very doable recipes, she's hilarious on Instagram and also very like authentic and real. And it was just someone that I was really excited for you to have on the show because she is someone I've admired. And so anytime you get someone like that on, it's really fun for me.
Yeah. Incredible energy. She has incredible energy. It was a fun episode to talk about. Speaking of fun episodes, one of my favorite was Sean Palmer, who's a pastor down in Houston, but he wrote a book called 40 Days on Being a Three. And being a fellow Enneagram Three, I was like, this guy for sure has to come on the podcast. I don't know that I've ever felt so known by somebody in a podcast episode. It was like just riffing on being a three and sort of like the back and forth of that. And I just even got to glean a lot of wisdom from him as somebody who's a pastor who has been a three his entire life, like me, but just like a little further down the line, you know, mm-hmm. and just to kind of get to ask him how he has handled some of these things I struggle with, honestly, and I think was really cool. And we had a connection with Abilene Christian University, and so it was just like one of those really fun episodes, and he's an amazing guy.
Yeah. So my next one is Tiffany Bloom, just because I think, and they're, I think kind of starting with her, it was kind of this movement towards, you just had several in a row that were just talking about some places that the church isn't doing great, hasn't done great in regard to women, how they're treated. And I just found her episode really healing. And I just appreciated that she's using her voice to kind of bring attention to a really significant issue within not only the culture, but church culture. And so, again, I felt like her episode was just really helpful to give maybe not necessarily my experience, but something that I've walked through with so many people, just feeling like yes and amen over yeah. and over again. And really, again, made me so thankful for where we get to serve and the health that is there. And I think a lot of times I take that for granted. And then you listen to other women talk about their experience in church, and you just think like, gosh, our experience is really unique. And sometimes I need the reminder that our experience is really unique in the most positive way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. One of the most powerful episodes of the year was A.D. Thomason. I just really liked him. I liked what he had to say, all of what he had to say. I actually wept in that episode when we talked about slavery and just the way that white people, white Christians had to rationalize slavery in bringing Africans over to this continent, and the basically idol that they had to make out of Jesus in order to like sort of rationalize that stuff, just hit me in a really profound way. And just understanding a lot of the complicity, a lot of the white evangelical legacy is that idolatry, you know, mm-hmm. where we've like sort of broken out Jesus and like made it all spiritual and sort of neglected this physical. And we've rationalized these ways in which we still to this day, I think, manipulate and use people for our own means. And so that he said it in the right way at the right time and just absolutely wrecked me. And so, that episode is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So also, like, Tiffany's, your episode with Beth Allison Barr, I enjoyed so much. First of all, like, the way, just the interview was so fun. I always love it when, I always joke when I listen, like, I can tell when you've won people over. Like, there are people I think that maybe feel a bit more nervous or unsure about you. And, like, that just never existed with Beth. Like, y'all just started the conversation like you were buddies. And so it was just a fun episode to listen to. She's also hilarious.
Yeah.
And again, just that reminder of where we are is so unique. And I think in a year where church has been wonky and weird, and, you know, our church still, like, we don't have a building space. And so we've met outside a couple times. It's all been on Zoom. It's just felt hard to realize that, like, it has been hard, but it's been an okay hard and a tolerable hard, not a, oh, this is hard because I'm not respected as a human. This is hard because my voice doesn't matter. And just being like, oh gosh, how church has felt hard to me is just, it's because I'm not with my people, like our church community. And like, it's a gift that that has been the challenge of the last year of not being together versus like, oh, church is hard because I feel disrespected or unwelcome or any number of things. And so I think just in the season that we're in, I needed the reminder of like, yes, Zoom church is not fabulous, but it's okay because it's still a healthy place.
Right. Yeah. I just need people to know that Beth Allison Barr's book is absolutely blowing up right now, and for good reason. It's incredible, but I knew this was going to happen almost a year ago. I just need everybody to know that I knew how sort of transformational even before I read this book that it was going to be. So Beth did an incredible job. I think everyone needs to read that book. Yeah. So I might give one away. Who knows? One of the ones that I felt so out of my league on was Paul Miller, who, you know, is a professor of foreign policy at Georgetown, has led a crazy life, you know, but being in the military and being in intelligence at the White House. It was really funny. There was this moment in that episode where he's like, you know, I look back on my time in intelligence, because we're basically the same age, right? I look back on my time in intelligence and, you know, wonder, could I do more, have done more? Like, looking back on it, I was like, you know what, Paul, I have the same thing, except I was working at Starbucks all of that time. You know, it was just this, like, the paths that we have taken could not be more different, you know? And he was just like, he is an incredibly brilliant person and has thought deeply about a lot of things about government. And I felt like it was hard to keep up with how much good stuff he was just bringing to the table about justice and how the government should be functioning and, you know, the role of government even. And so I felt like I was sort of treading water that episode, which is cool. I think that's how I want it to be, you know?
Yeah. So my seventh one is Luann's episode, which is more recent, but again, just like really timely and kind of the message that I needed to hear. I mean, there are definitely, so I usually listen on my way to work. And sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to like get it together because this episode's making me cry. And I'm like walking in to see clients. And so it was just one, I don't think we talk often about, you know, chronic pain or chronic illness and just the impact that that has on not only us as humans and how we then interact in community, but just how that impacts work. And so she did a beautiful job of, you know, sharing her story and walking through that. And it just felt, it was just a good listen, something that I needed to hear.
Yeah. So. And we're basically neighbors.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool too, you know, so. Yeah. Good. I think we've never done that before, but I think like that's really helpful just to remember like how much was in 2020, you know, and like just a year goes by and it's hard to remember all the stuff that happened and all the episodes and all that stuff. And it's really cool to think back on all that.
Yeah. So, like, looking back over the last year podcasting during a pandemic, like, for you, like, what about that was challenging or different than podcasting in a non-pandemic year?
Well, my motivation, first of all, was not at its height, we'll just say. I would say there was struggles and just even like, what's the point of this sometimes over the past year? You know what I mean? And it was so frustrating because I'd get to the point where it was like, you know what? Maybe I just need to take like a extended break or something. And then like I'd get 5 emails of people like wanting to be on the show or like, you know, publishers like wanting to send me books. And I'm like, okay, I'll schedule a few more. And then I do the interviews and it just reminds me of why I do this. You know, I love that people love listening to this episode, these episodes, and I love the feedback. It's amazing. But just getting to like delve into people's stories, I think is a real privilege, you know, and one that I forget about from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's in those interviews with other people when you're like connecting and listening to their story that like you really, I think there's a sacredness to that. You know, the Holy Spirit's like involved in that conversation and sort of guiding us, and just sensing that kind of keeps me going, you know? So I've been trying not to give so much time between like actually doing interviews, because that's like best part, you know? Also not being able to do any in person was really hard because I really value that side of things. I don't mind doing them over Zoom. I've done a lot of them like that, but to have none in person was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. What was like, I mean, I feel like you kind of touched on this, but like, what was the joy in it? Where was the goodness?
Yeah. Yeah, there was goodness in just the, I think the relationships that I got to make with people, you know, I think there's just such benefit to that. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was easier to get interviews in 2020 because people had less to do. And we're pretty comfortable with Zoom already, you know. I was doing Zoom calls like 3 years ago with people. And now just everybody's so comfortable with the technology. And, you know, it's a lot easier in a lot of ways to schedule interviews and make interviews happen. Especially with publishers, because all the normal ways they had of getting the word out about books is gone, you know. And so publishers are just much more willing to like enter into podcast and sort of, you know, reach out and all that stuff. So the connections are always fun. I love connecting, you know.
So 3 years, and I feel like you're just a learner. We joke that if money were no object, you would just be in school forever.
It's true.
So like greatest learning last year, podcasting.
This is tangential to the podcast and isn't like podcast specific, but I think the racial tensions that have gone on in our country this year have sort of, it has colored everything that I've done for the entire year. You know, you think back and like the first Magic Table we did after George Floyd's death was our story of how God changed us, you know, and how we thought about race and, you know, our background and, you know, just the story of that. And I think, you know, as you go into all these things, like the reason I did so many political episodes was because we were having an election and one that was pretty fraught, as we all know, with some just crazy policies. But a lot of it was all of the racial tension still going on in our country. And you think about, you know, as a learner, I love history, and you think about the 60s and just the revolution that was going on there. And you see a lot of those same elements even coming up today. And I think as I sort of, got to experience and learn from all these other people's stories, this year, it was with that sort of knowledge of where the world is at that all those episodes are informed. And I think as Christians, part of our work in this world is doing those things, is bringing about justice with the power that we have, you know, and to ignore that stuff, I think, takes away our witness in this world and takes away, we're not living up to how we're supposed to be interacting with this world. And so I would say that the whole of the just craziness we experienced this year, I think sort of informs everything that we do and the way we should be thinking about what the kingdom of God truly looks like, how the church exemplifies that kingdom in this world, and then what that means. And I feel like all of my episodes in some way sort of are pointing in that direction, you know?
Yeah.
I think work gets placed in this place of just the stuff I do to make money, you know? And I think work is so much bigger than all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, our work in this world is not limited to how we get that paper. You know what I'm saying? It is the way in which we show the love of God's kingdom and show the power and the majesty of God's kingdom through his death. I think a lot of my guests, I think all of my guests exemplified that in some way this year. Did that all make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully when we record year four episode, we will no longer be in a global pandemic.
Yeah.
So, and I think we are at a place that we're kind of moving to some hope about how life might be in the next several months. Like, as you hope and dream about what the next year holds for Theology of Hessel, what's your hope?
For the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know. A live show has always been like a dream for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if that's going to be even remotely possible. But like, one of my favorite things is we just had is celebrating, right? Like every year till this one, we had a big podcast celebration. Well, I guess last year we didn't either, did we?
No.
That's too. Yeah. But I love a good party. And I think that a live show would be a big party, you know, and I would love to do some of that. I don't really know what to expect for the next year, because I always feel like I kind of like go into the each year sort of expecting what's going to happen. And then I'm just surprised by whose path I cross and, you know, who comes up and the people that talk to me about the podcast. And just, it's always pretty cool. I feel like I'm very open-handed with the show, you know. It's like, I want God to guide this thing, you know, and I try to really listen to the Spirit as far as like where to go and who to bring on and that sort of thing. And there are times when I get down to like only having one or two episodes done, until God sort of like places somebody really in my path. And so I guess I try to stay as open-handed as I can too about the show and not, sort of force it into some control that I want to have over it, thereby taking away sort of God's guidance for the show.
Okay. Good answer. So I think because I'm like behind the scenes, by that I mean your wife and we talk about the podcast at home, I think the more interviews you do, the more ways people talk about the work that they're doing, bringing God's kingdom, it changes how you view work. As you continue to kind of have your own view shaped,
yeah,
what does that, like, what has that meant for you? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. I think I've talked about this, you know, in other episodes early on, but just I had like this view of work that was pretty small, and the way that you do ministry through work, you know, is sort of like reaching out to your coworkers and some of that stuff, which all of that stuff is true, but I had like my view was too small, you know. I think like work permeates everything we do. Gordon Fee, who's one of my favorite theologians, just talks about, you know, calling in scripture doesn't have to do with work, really. I mean, Paul was a tent maker, right? He was bivocational, you know, very Curry-esque in that way. That's what people say about Paul all the time. But Paul, when he talks about calling, it's not in this like, hey, I'm called to be a tent maker, and that sums up my identity. Paul, when he talks about calling, is talking about Christ crucified. And so our lives, no matter what job we have at any given time, our calling, our vocation is to represent Christ crucified to this world. And I think we get it twisted when we see calling or vocation simply as, like I said earlier, the thing we do to make money, or even just the thing we do in this world, even if it's not making money per se. But when we talk about calling as a job, I guess, I think we really neglect a lot of aspects of what it means to really work in this world. Like somebody who physically is not capable of having a job, or mentally doesn't have the capacity to work at a job, they're no less called than you or I. But we've turned calling into this ultimate expression of like everything that we are, and it's supposed to make us happy, and we search for that. But what do we do with people that can't have a calling like that? Do we say they're not called? No, they're very much called to represent Christ crucified to this world. And I think we get a prosperity sort of theology around these things, and we only think that God's really calling us to the job that we have when that job is good. When that job sucks, we're like, good Lord, what are you doing? Like, get me out of this place, you know? And it's all prosperity. God never promised you a job that's going to fulfill all of your life's desires in one place, nor did he promise a person to do that in our lives. He promises that he will be that for us. And our job is to represent that, to be witness to that in this world. And we do that by every stinking single thing that we do. And I think if we could just switch calling from job specific to a understanding and underpinning of our entire lives, I think it would change the way that we view our jobs, especially when they suck. That it would change the ways that we viewed the way in which we relate to the world. It would change our politics, right? Like, yeah. Our politics should represent Christ crucified to this world, and it just doesn't right now. It represents partisanship right now by churches, and I think we've messed it up, and we've made it about us and about God giving us good things and the things that are going to make us whole, and we've neglected the things that truly truly matter in this world. And so that's not to say that we can't think about like our jobs in terms of God guiding us to like good jobs and even like finding joy and satisfaction in our jobs, but it cannot be the only thing that matters, you know?
Yeah.
But it's become our identity. It's become the way we see ourselves in this world. And I think we don't think about what that means for the hard times. 'Cause like 2020, it was pretty easy to be like, what are you doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And that's when prosperity theology really breaks itself down. It's no longer tenable when we're in the midst of a pandemic. And I think what you're seeing, there's a ton of burnout like across the world by Christians specifically, you know, the political turmoil that we've seen, the lack of like seeking justice for others or even like loving others. I think that's a fundamental breakdown in our theology and the way we think about ourselves in relation to God and in relation to the world. So I think the more I sort of talk about work, the less concerned I am with specific jobs and the more concerned I am with the way God has ordered our steps in order to do the good work to which he has called us, which can be every part of our lives. Like, that doesn't stop when you retire. You're no longer called. You know, you don't lose your calling when you retire. You are still called to preach Christ crucified to this world with everything that you do. And so I think that broadens the expanse of all this, you know, and Yeah, I think those are really important things to talk about and to think about and to understand in our own lives how that is playing out in the world and in the things that we touch.
Yeah. No, I think that's good.
I got excited. You know, that was a bit of a soapbox for me, but
that's the beauty of having your own podcast. Right. You get to be on your soapbox.
And I only really do this once a year. I should probably find some other outlet to really talk about work, you know, but
babe, that's what the magic table is.
Oh, that's
not
true.
Work.
But we end up talking about emotions and stuff.
Soapboxes. that's where we get to do our soapboxes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think, again, I have been here and been a part of the dialogue of kind of fleshing out this idea of work and what that looks like even for you. And I think this year in particular with homeschool and me working more and you being home more, I just think that viewpoint has changed your parenting. I'm wondering if you would be willing to just talk about how even that shifting view of work changes how you parent or has changed how you parent.
Yeah, that's a good question because that makes me actually that's where the rubber actually meets the road. Like I could talk all day about this view of work that's sort of altering, but stepping into it, I think, is a lot different. Right. And that role of parenting is part of, I would say, that the work that we do in this mm-hmm. world. And that parenting can feel, listen, it is so, I get things done. I'm really, really good at getting things done, right? I can get a lot accomplished in a short amount of time and it's going to be done excellent. That's
that's your thing.
Something I'm good at. That is impossible to do when you have three people constantly interrupting you for anything. You know, I also don't have a door on my office because I'm too lazy to actually put a door on there, even though you've told me several times to put a door on there. But kids are a constant interruption. I think when we were talking to our friends Aaron and Jody just about this, he was talking about just sort of this you learn more from having to sacrifice yourself and your desires throughout the day to somebody else. You learn more about theology doing that over and over and over again than you ever could from doing Bible study 8 hours a day or something, because you're putting, grandiose a thought for parenting, but when you're constantly putting aside the things that you're trying to get done, what you're trying to do for somebody else to meet somebody else's needs, that's the gospel, mm-hmm. right? That's serving others is what Christ came to do. He literally says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And it is that calling that we step into. And so in a lot of ways, parenting is pushing this idea of self-sacrifice, of sacrificing yourself for others, deeper and deeper into your being, you know. And I tend to get so frustrated with them when I'm interrupted constantly and framing it in a way where this is a liturgy of being annoyed and sacrificing my desires for what they want, I think changes the way we think about that. And so, you know, I think it's the same way, caring for a family member who's sick or something. That's a calling that we step into, that no one would sort of really choose to do, you know, choose to have to do that for free for somebody or watch somebody, you know, walk through that. But those are special times to which God has called us to really lay aside, you know, the things that we desire for others. And I think I've learned that many times in 2020, you know, it's easy for me to get frustrated that I'm not getting done what I wanted or, you know, A, B, and C, you know, whatever it is, you know, working jobs while parenting and homeschooling, you know, but I think couching it in terms of my calling, of what this season is called, I'm called to do in this season, I think changes the way you do all of those things. And if you're raising those kids and you're being interrupted for the kingdom, it changes the way you respond to them in those moments. If you're doing it because like you have these darn kids and you don't know what else to do with them, then I think you're neglecting your responsibilities and your discipleship of those kids. And so it's been costly, you know. It's cost me a lot in a lot of ways, but it's for the kingdom, right? Yeah. And instilling in those kids that like their work matters, like their, like what they are doing matters right mm-hmm. now, not some time in the future when they're adults. It matters now, I think, is an important part of all of this. And so those kids are working just like I'm working. We're all part of the kingdom, building it, even if it doesn't always seem like it, you know?
Yeah. No, that's good.
Lots of rantings in this episode, but hey, you only get to do it one time a year. So
any other thoughts?
No, I just want to say thanks everybody for listening. It's encouraging. The reviews are encouraging. I appreciate it. I know that like my episodes are long and I'm regularly pretty close to an hour on these episodes, and that's a lot of time to devote to a podcast. So I thank people for listening and listening to these stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to 3 years.
Cheers to 3 years.
Here's to many more.
Indeed. Well, I hope you enjoyed this third anniversary episode. We had a ton of fun recording it, and I just want to thank you for listening over all these years. It's super fun that people still care about this topic and still want to interact. I would love to for you to tell me your favorite episode. I really want to hear what you got out of this year and just, your favorite episode and what you pulled out of that episode and what you are getting out of the show. I would love to hear that from you. You can always leave me a rating and review, which is just super helpful for getting the podcast out into the world, letting other people know that people are listening to it. And it just means a lot to me. So I'd appreciate you doing all that. And until next time, get out there and hustle.